2 Timothy chapter 1. Last week we left off with some very important things that Paul had to say to Timothy about some having depart from the faith. All has turned away in Asia concerning the truth they have erred. So by the time Paul writes 2 Timothy, Timothy is in, I don't want to say, he was in trouble. He was very timid. He was had a ministry going. He was young. He was sharing the truth. Had these churches under his bishopric, and things wasn't going right. People was leaving. People wasn't being faithful and all. So when he writes 1 Timothy and 2 Timothy, Paul is very 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 not important, but. Very, very important that Paul is trying to share things with Timothy. Hey, it's not going to be easy. It's not, that type of thing. So as we looked at it last week, the apostasy begins when you turn away from Pauline truth. We always wonder how it starts. Well, I know people, and I guarantee you know people here today that you've seen come into ministry, and next thing you know, they're not here no more. They have fallen from Pauline truths. They've not fallen from truths, period. The whole Bible is truth, isn't it? But if you don't rightly divide the word of truth, then you could be wooed away and erred from the truth of Paul. When you turn away from Pauline truth, which leads to error in the faith, which leads to opposition of the faith, now you're going to oppose what you believe in. With the results of not wanting to hear the truth of the faith. You know what I'm saying? There's people today that's once you do that, they just, I don't want to hear that no more. That's what you believe. I've been accused, we don't study the whole Bible. You only follow Paul. That's why we have our church little motto is studying the whole Bible, 2 Timothy 3:16, 17, the Bible's own way, 2 Timothy 2:15. You do have to study the whole Bible to understand what God's plan and purpose is, not only for the earth, but for what? The heavens. God laid this out perfectly. Sometimes in our own mind, we just don't want to believe that. But hey, God said it. We have His Word. Then we looked at the good news that was in every chapter. There was an answer of encouragement for the young bishops who experienced this apostasy. Am I not saying that right? Thank you. Thank you. 2 Timothy 1:12. God's faithfulness for your comfort. God's foundation underneath you for support. God's word within you for the defense. And God's crown before you as your hope. See, there's rewards for what you're doing here. There's rewards for standing for truth. There's rewards in jobs, aren't they? We're doing the right job. Your boss gives you a big attaboy, don't they, Dan? All the time, every week when he fulfills a good week, your boss calls you in there, thank you, Dan. No, not some bosses, but you know something? Dan gets a reward for saying, I did my job. So you can be a fulfillment in your own self for doing that. And then we found out that... the Satan's plan B, and this is where we really left off, is to attack the messenger and how to face it. One thing Paul will attack, Satan will attack the message. Okay? You don't have to rightly divide it. Or you can rightly divide it, but we want you to do this, this, this. It's okay to believe in Jesus that He died and buried and rose again, but you've got to have to do this, this, this. That's attacking the purity of what God is doing at the cross. I tell people all the time, and I have to really think hard, is the fact that if you add anything to the finished work, did He not finish it when He died on the cross? He died, was buried, and rose again. That finished work, if you add anything to that, what does that say? It wasn't good enough. I'm sorry, Lord, I believe that, but, I think I need to do this, 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 this. And that's where that human viewpoint and Satan, and what's God do about it? Does He come down there and pick you up by the collar and say, what are you doing? He allows you to make that choice. I'm sure as a father to a son, and your son don't do right, how it just breaks your heart. But yet you're standing there like, okay, it's your decision. You know, it's your decision. But look, in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 1, as Paul... 2 Timothy? Yes, sir. As Paul writes... Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, according to the promise of life, which is in who? Christ Jesus. We worked down through verse 6 last week, but Paul was writing Timothy to let him know that he's praying for him, that he understands Timothy's tears and troubles, and Timothy, what is Timothy's having in a ministry. Hey, you think I've had troubles in this ministry? You think I've had tears and fears and weirs and wars and yes? You don't. There's people out there around the globe is constantly praying for this ministry. You know, they know what we've been through. They know what we're going through. It's a struggle. So you know, just don't think that you're all just by yourself here. Our ministry is really global, and that's why we set it up. We want to help other people. Okay, that's why we talk about Canton Grace Fellowship on the internet. We talk about Ohio Grace Ministries. It's not only designed to help ministries within Ohio, it helps people all over the world. And you know people. You know, we know people in New Zealand and Netherlands, you know, Switzerland. Yeah, Susie just emailed the other day, said, hi, we miss everybody. You know, we ain't even know people in Virginia. Timothy's having problems. In spite of troubles, Paul writes and let him know that he has confidence in Timothy. That's an encouragement, isn't it? Hey, I know you're having some hard times. I know it's rough, but let me tell you, I have faith in you. I trust you. And Paul encouraged him to look at verse 6. Wherein I put in remembrance that ye stir up the gift of God which is in thee by putting on my hands. Paul's seen a gift in Timothy that he wants to stir up. There's gifts in you and I that we need to stir up for the ministry. You know, there's things that you can do that you may not even think you can do that God has for you to do for the work of the ministry. You know, whether it's a phone call, whether it's a knock on the door, whether it's being here. That's a great encouragement. And God, look at that next verse. For God has not given us the spirit of... You know what fear is? It's a spirit. When you fear, or you're scared of something, there's a spirit of fear. He has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of what? A sound mind. That's what he's given us. And once you tap into that, don't that give you power to stand in front of somebody and say, you're wrong? You know, I always like to, I beg to differ. You know, I do. I beg to differ. And I let them talk. I said, but I beg to differ. God's given us a power, and it's not the power to, you know, Shazam. You know, and this, you know, that type of, it's power from His Word that's working in us that believes it. 2 Corinthians, hold your finger there. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 7. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 7. Starting with verse 4, says, great is my boldness of speech towards you. Great is my glorying of you. I am filled with comfort. I am exceeding joyful in all of our tribulation. For when we were come into Macedonia, our flesh had no rest. But we were troubled on every side. Without were fightings, and within were fears. Nevertheless, God that comforted those that are cast down, comfort us by the coming of Titus. Paul experienced the same type of discouragement and intimidation that Timothy experienced. I think many of you know what Paul went through, but yet, was he faithful? I finished my course, didn't he? He fought the good fight. He had no rest in the flesh, but was troubled on every side. Without were fightings. Within were fears. Nevertheless, God comforted those. You know, we could rest on that. Say, okay, God, you know, you gave our apostle, our pattern, the words that comfort. Can't you be comforted in God's word? I have to rest in that. Because if I'm comforted in my flesh, it's weary right now. It's tired. It's getting old. I have to. My hope is in who?
Christ Jesus.
And where's your hope? Christ Jesus. Satan likes to take persecutions and troubles and have them to wear on you. Many of us experience that, ain't it? You know, just constantly, you're not good enough to. Who are you to tell anybody about Jesus Christ? I remember you when you was 13 years old. Sometimes you wish some people would go on. You know, like, hey, you know, I'll come to your funeral. You know, just go on. Leave me alone. You know, I learned a long time ago that I surround myself with people that, you know, don't care what my past was. You know, they understand who I am right now and what I'm doing right now. That's my comfort and joy. I surround my people that knows what they're doing too, and businesses that I have no idea what's going on. But you guys do. You know, I call you up. What do you think about this? What's going on here? You know, what do you know that? Well, this is what I experience. That's why tribulations work as patience, work as tribulation. Tribulation works patience, patience, experience, hope. It's moving. By the time we get, by the time y'all gets my age, you have hope. How's that? But look, so that you can get discouraged and quit. That's what Timothy was about to do. He was about to quit. And that's what we talked about last week. How easy would it be just lay down and quit? Very easy, but I tell you, this position up here don't pay much. So I'm, I'm talking about just quitting the ministry. Just say, you know, nobody else cares. Why should I care? I quit. I give up. I just want to sit in the back row, drink coffee, eat donuts. That's a discouragement, isn't it? Because I tell you what, when you worry about numbers and you worry about this and you worry about the church down the street that's got four parking lots and running three buses, and you're thinking, what am I doing wrong? But then again, what are they doing wrong? You know, you've been through some things, I've been through some things, they're saying, God's not over in that little police station.
You don't even have a piano.
Yeah.
How many times have we heard that? You don't have a music
You don't have a choir?
Sure.
No, but yeah. You heard them today, didn't you? They're wonderful. They meet every Wednesday after the ladies' Bible study. You know, but look, go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Satan's used Plan B on the church at Thessalonica, which were grounded in doctrine and received the word with much afflictions. 1 Thessalonians. Chapter 2, verse 17. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 17. But we, brethren, being taken from you for a short time in presence, not in heart, endeavored the more abundantly to see your face with great desire. Wherefore we would have come unto you, even I, Paul, once again, but Satan hindered us. For what is our hope, or joy, or crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at His coming? For ye are all our glory and joy. Wherein, when we could no longer forbear, we thought it was good to be left in Athens alone, and sent Timotheus, our brother and minister of God, and our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ, to establish you and comfort you in concerning your faith, there, that no man should be moved by these afflictions, For yourself know that when we were appointed thereunto, for verily, when we were with you, we told you about, we told you before that we should suffer tribulations, even as it come to pass, and you know. For this cause, when I could no longer forbear, I sent to know your faith, lest by some means the temper has tempered you, and our labor be in vain. But now when Timotheus came from you unto us, and brought us good tidings of your faith and charity, and that you have good remembrance of us always, desiring greatly to see us, we also to see you. Therefore, brethren, we were comforted over you in all of our afflictions and distress by your faith. For now we live, if ye stand fast in the Lord. For what thanks can be rendered to God again for you, for all of the joy whereunto we joy for your sakes before our God, night and day praying exceedingly, that we might see your face, and might was it perfect that which is lacking in your faith. Now God himself and our Father, Lord Jesus Christ, direct our ways unto you. And the Lord may make you increase and bound in love one towards another and towards all men, even as we do towards you, to the end he may establish. That word comes, remember, was Romans 16:25? Establish you according to, okay? Your heart's unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at his coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all the saints. This Thessalonica was grounded and received the word in much affliction. Satan's goal is to move you away from the faith. His goal is to, and your goal is to not to be what? Moved. Holding fast the faith in who? Lord Jesus Christ. Okay? Here's Paul was worried about the Thessalonians. Hey, he received word. They're still holding. They're still fast. They're still grounded. We're not being moved. When people hear word about this little ministry here, that is still there, still light in Stark County, if you will, you know, and still moving on. You know, people ask me all the time, how many saints you got? How many attends your church? You know what the always answer is. Millions or more than Noah had on ark. You know, I always say, hey, if you break out the pictures in your wallet, standing room only here, buddy. But Satan gives the mental attitude of fear. You're not good enough. Who are you up there? Okay? But we found out through Paul, through Timothy, God has not given us a spirit of fear. This is encouragement to all of us here. It's not just encouragement to the bishop, if you will. It's an encouragement to all of us because you and your personal ministry has to stand. You and your personal ministry has fears to overcome about when it comes to this work. And it is work. God's mental attitude is and giving us is what? Power. Confidence to get the job done with despite obstacles. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 11 says, wherefore also we pray always for you, that our God would count you worthy of this calling and fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness and work of faith with power. God has power through his word that you believed it. We looked at Corinthians over and over and over. 1 Corinthians, the power of God. Where's the power of God at? But what do you do? What is the power of God? True, but the preaching. Okay? The preaching of the cross is the power of God. Okay, you preach that cross, you get people saved. That's power. You know, people all day, well, God's doing miracles. I'll tell you what God's doing, miracle-wise, miraculously. saving people. Taking someone that was dead and make them alive through hearing the Word of God. That's power. That is totally power. I shared with you last week, I was hearing one of these radio preachers, and he goes, I'm not going to put my faith in someone that says they had near-death experience. You know, you read books or make movies, say, you know, I went to hell, and that's not a good place to be. So God pulled me back out of here and brought me back here to tell you that's not a place to be. Hey, does a rich man Lazarus ever come to your mind? Mm-hmm. And didn't God tell him, just say, hey, and the rich man wanted to send Lazarus because he's got brothers up there. He said, it sent Abraham to tell you. You had Abraham, and you wouldn't believe it. So I'm just saying, these people that said they went to heaven, there's bright lights and stuff like that, I'm not going to trust that. I'm going to trust the Word of God that this man, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, went to a cross, was dying, was buried, and rose again, and His Word says He came alive. That's what I'm going to believe. That is a real life to death, the life experience. And God has promised that to you, that you will never die again by believing that. You know, that's power. That is power. And that's confidence. In Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. Verse 19. And for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. That's confidence. You know, that's something you have. That's something I have. You know, a lot of people pray, well, I hope I'll give Ed a prayer and He'll speak boldly, and because I'm not going to do it. You know, that's good prayer. But you know something? Many of you right now could speak boldly and stand with the gospel. What does that say? Speak to make known the mystery of the... Which gospel is that? Gospel of Christ, gospel of Paul, gospel of the dispensation of the grace of God, gospel of the uncircumcision. You know, that was kept secret before the world began. There's people out there who knows all kinds of gospels. And when you talk about, I want my sons, I want this to be a gospel ministry, first thing goes up my mind, which gospel? Mm. You know, which gospel? Mm-hmm. And you think, okay, that's offensive to some. What do you mean, which gospel? Mm-hmm. There's only one gospel. Okay, tell me what it is. And you know, great chance people say that Christ died and buried and rose again. And you think, praise God, hallelujah. Now establish you according to my gospel and, not just my gospel, and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret. Okay? But now it's made manifest. The revelation of the mystery. We preach Jesus Christ, risen Lord and Savior. The books of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, but not according to the... That's right.
What book of verse is that that you just mentioned about the word and the mystery or something?
Romans 16. Let's see. Look at Romans 16:25. See if that's what... Yeah, Romans 16.
16:25.
16:25. You there? Romans 16:25. Romans 16:25. Now to him that is power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began, but now it's made manifest by the scriptures of the prophets according to the commandments of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith. You got, and this is totally different from Acts chapter 3, verse 21, that Peter stood up there and preached to the nation. Okay? And, but one, you got the gospel. Two, you got to Christ and the mystery. Three, you got to scriptures and the prophets. And we looked at a building a house, the edification, according to my gospel. That's powerful. Hey, do you have a gospel? Can't you make that your gospel? Absolutely. I've got a gospel, and it's the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's the good news. And I'll tell you what, another thing, that gospel... If you look back over in Thessalonians, as Paul, the Thessalonians was being shaken because people were saying the rapture already took place. And Paul said, no. There's no need for me to write you of these things. And Paul's gospel has never always been preached. See, if you close that chart up, Paul's gospel was hidden. So when people talk about this and they talk about, you know, these books in the past and these books in the future, that's a different gospel, people. And you know that. But it's good to renew your mind, like, wait a minute now, what's gospel? There's a lot of gospels in the Bible. Look, boom, 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 boom. Same as baptism. There's over 12 baptisms in your Bible. Which one is it for today? A lot of people do.
Just kidding.
They really do.
I don't know too many people.
No.
Sorry.
They're still waiting on that. But you think about that one. Every time you join the church, if you don't transfer your letter, you got to be baptized. Well, I was when I was an infant. That ain't good enough. You didn't know what you was doing. You know, and so, you know, now, listen, I love my brother to death, but I think he joined five different independent, dependent, free will, you know, bad, all kind of, and each one of them had a different, and when he told me that day, and he, you know, I love him to death, he told me that day, he said, I'm going to get baptized. I said, William, you haven't been baptized, spiritually, you know. And physically, when we was 8 years old, he goes, yeah, but I'm going to show the world. I said, you didn't show Joe down here on the corner. You showed that 12 little people that showed up Sunday night because, you know, they were your friends. Oh, me. But anyway, he's come a long way. Praise God. And, you know, the Word of God works effectively in those who believe it. And he believes it. And, you know, he never had his children baptized. You know, he waited till they were old enough and, you know, that type of thing to make that decision. But it's still love, the power and love, the agape love, the grace motivation. That's what motivates you here. It's a love. Let me tell you something. If I come down hard on you every week, making you feel guilty, making you feel unworthy, what kind of motivation is that? That's the law motivation. That's why some of these places are packed out here, because they feel guilty every week because, oh my gosh. The preacher should be up there teaching about love, the love that Christ died for your sins, buried, rose again, that you not have the dominion over your faith, but be the helpers of your joy, and you understand about sowing and reaping. You know what I mean? And you want to come to the grace motivation. But I tell you, I abused grace too. You know, grace gives you liberty in a lot of things, and there's a lot of things I abuse. You know, there's some terminologies in the Bible that I try to use in my own life. Like, if you're sharing something with me, I say, can I have the liberty to say that to, this? I asked you that. I don't want to abuse your liberty of telling me, you know, I think about, you know, different things like my daughter, what Sherry shared about the things that she's trying to get together. You know, that's kind of confidential. But I had the liberty to share it with somebody else for a minute or two, you know? So that's what I'm talking about. But the love, the grace motivation, the dispensation of grace, what God has did for you at Calvary is a motivation of what you do today. That's why you're here. That's why you want to share somebody else. then the sound mind, the clear mind, use the knowledge that you have from the Word of God and accurately and precisely. The sound mind. You get that doctrine right here, right? And then it gets down in here. And you can discern some things. I guarantee you some of us today is discerning things that we never thought in our life that we would do when it comes to the Word of God. You know, don't that give you kind of comfort to know that you can know with a sound mind, with a strong mind? 2 Timothy chapter 1. Second Timothy chapter 1. Verses 8 through 18, and we'll pick up more of this next week, but if you think about what you're reading there, Timothy, be not ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor me his prisoner. Okay? Why? Because in verse 7, for God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of love, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Be not partakers, be thou partakers of the affliction of the gospel according to the power of God. That's Romans 1:16, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is a power of God. Okay? But I'm not ashamed. Ephesians 3:13 says, wherefore I desire that ye faint not at my tribulation for you, which is your glory. Galatians 6:9. And let us not be weary in well doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. You know what the law of harvest is? Law of harvest. Any of you ever plant anything? Okay. There's a law. You reap what you sow, right? You plant a corn kernel, you don't get carrots and beets. Okay? Right? You reap. We're sowing good seeds of the gospel of the grace of God in our minds and in our kids' minds and in our neighbors' minds, whoever's minds. They're not going to reap the kingdom gospel. I mean, you reap what you sow, right? Then you reap more than you sow. That one piece of kernel can grow a stalk full of corn, right? You ever see that? Any of you witness that? Yeah. You reap more. And then you reap later what you sow. Things that we talked about today, putting something in the mail where they receive it, that's something you're going to reap later down the road. Follow me? That's good. That's preparing. Because you know that if you plant it today, you're not going to eat it tomorrow. Unless you put some really miracle grow or something on there, you know, boom. And usually when you do that, you ever notice that? The stalk is like, you know, weak and, you know. And we put some stuff that came from a golf course one time on some male organite or whatever it was. You know what that is?
No.
Well, don't put it on anything. My deck down home is 8-foot deck off the floor, but no, 10-foot deck off the ground, and those tomato plants went that and 3 foot more.
What was any of that stuff again?
So, you know, it didn't. It
comes from sewer treatment.
Plants. Not in chicken manure, like many people put chicken manure on things. This is human manure.
Were the tomatoes any good, she says?
Yeah, we're good.
Yeah, we had a few of them. But I was just amazing that, do I climb it? Where is it going, you know?
Jack and the
Beanstalk. But look, partakers. Did I read that verse? 6:9?
Yeah.
Okay. Please know that your will, fact with both, plan Satan's A and B throughout your ministry. Your will affect that. Follow me? If you let Satan's will, he's going to discourage you. Who are you to share that? That's the messenger. If he can't attack the message, he's going to attack the messengers. Many of you attacked the message when you first came here or first learned. But it's got to be this. That's attacking the message. And you've seen the message was true. And you've seen the message be true from the Word of God, not from the preacher's mouth. You follow me? And you said, okay, I want to be right. Then people attack the messenger. That's where the battle really starts. Because, you know, you can walk away. Sometimes you can just walk away from the message. You know, like, you believe what you want to believe. We'll come to whether agree to disagree. You know, that's a cop-out, really, you know. It really is. Because now you're given some doubt. Then attack the messenger. The only answer is to this attack from Satan is to keep your focus on the work of the ministry is all about. You know, many of you have professions in here that if you don't keep your focus on what your job is about, you're going to be left in the dust, aren't you? You're going to be left in the dust because you know why? You're not renewing your mind with what you're supposed to be doing. You know, Dan and I, we're special commodities relocation engineers. You know, and every seems like every other month something changes, don't it? They're changing laws to do this, and they're changing laws to do that. And if we don't get the right information, and we get that arrow that says turn around back, and they look at us and they're like, okay, you failed to do this. Well, officer, I didn't know that. Well, it's your responsibility to know it. You know, it really is. And they change systems all the time because why? We're in a transportation industry. And I said this before and I say it again, between special commodities relocation engineers and airline pilots, we have to count for every day of every minute, every hour of every minute. Even when we're not working, we have to account for it, don't we, Dan? In a logbook. And it gets turned over to our company, and it's put in a file for 6 months. And a Department of Transportation can come in there at any time and pull that file out and pull stuff up for 6 months. Now they're using this. Find out where you're at. Find out who you're calling. Find out, you know, if I'm talking on the phone and I run a red light and run over 15 people, first thing to do is apprehend this. And it tells them everything I've done. Scary. Scary. That thing's got an eyeball on it. Two of them. This one does. That's why a lot of people don't like technologies. You're not going to spy on me. But they got you no matter what. They got you no matter what. But that's, you know, who's the prince of power of the air? It's not our boss, Dan. I'm sorry. But look, but the only answer is that Satan is to this attack from Satan is keep focus. Stand. Take advice from young Timothy. You know, he's been through some things. Titus was a bulldog. Titus was a bulldozer. You know, he was just like, but Timothy, we go to 1 Timothy chapter 3. We're getting ready to close. 1 Timothy chapter 3. 1 Timothy chapter 3. Verse 15.
You said 3:15?
Yes, sir. 1 Timothy 3:15. And we broke this down a couple weeks ago, so I'm not going to break it down again. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God. Okay? Talking about the local church here. And which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the... That's what you are here. The pillar and ground of the truth. You know what pillars are? Not one of them fluffy things. Hey, didn't Samson take me up to the pillars? Right? Pillars are You know what they are. I don't have to, support. Yeah. Okay. We all may have some under our house. I mean, it's something there. Pillar and ground of the truth, and without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. For God was manifested in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached to the Gentiles, believed on the world, received up to glory. Faithfulness to the task of godly edification of the body which produce godlikeness. That's what we do. That's what we do. We edify one another. Okay? If you guys wouldn't come here, I'd be preaching to myself. What kind of edification is that? It would be self-gratification, if you will. But Satan uses a trick to try to stop you. In Ephesians 6:10, be loyal. Be loyal to the message. Be loyal to who? Your Lord and Savior, who saved you. That's who you owe allegiance to. You don't owe this guy allegiance. I know people say, I'm thankful that you brought me into the ministry. Edward, I'm loyal to you. That's great to have. But you be loyal to the Lord God Almighty that saved you, and then the ministry. Preach Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery. The Word of God, rightly divide it. You can do it anywhere you go. In your own personal ministry, in your life, in this ministry. If some of you don't, some of you might say, well, I know it, but I'm going to support you. That's fine. Support the message. Okay? Not so much the messenger, but support the message. Because I can walk out here tomorrow and get hit, or today get choked on a chicken bone or something, that I got from JJ. No, just joking. But, something and die. Would y'all just give up? It'd be easy, wouldn't it? Oh, poor, I don't have nowhere to go. You could keep this going. You could keep it going. I have faith in you. That's why you train people to take your job over. You train young people come up. We got grandchildren and children and children that we'd love to have in here with me. That could probably preach circles around us. If they wanted to. I know they can do other things that, that does circles. Be loyal to Paul's message and who stand for the Word of God rightly divided. It's easy to support other ministries, isn't it? Really? There was a show on the other night. Celebrity Wife Swap. Have y'all seen that one?
Yeah.
Gary.
Yeah, we did.
Did you see?
He is
cuckoo. But you, yeah, Gary Busey. Did you see who he swapped families with?
Preacher
that had a big ministry. Yeah. Big ministry. And you know something? He still don't work. He relies on people to pay for his house. Yeah, and pay for his family and all that stuff. No, what was it? Haggard. He was a big minister. I mean, he had a big... Yeah. Colorado.
He's in Arizona.
Arizona, okay. Wherever he is.
He's been out there for the last couple years.
Okay. But the thing is, be loyal to Paul and who stand for rightly divided. Does that guy stand for rightly divided?
No.
He didn't in his ministry. You know something? He may now. He may come... But I don't see how he can when he don't work. But Gary, that other one, that he is a space case, man. He said he believes in Jesus Christ.
Yeah, I remember years ago he went through a stage that he was, suppose it was religious, and found the Lord. And yeah. I'm not questioning any of that. I'm just saying, and somehow he went back on the drugs.
Right. He sat there, he said, I believe in Jesus Christ. He said, I believe in that I was here before. I believe I was in the Alamo. I was this, I was that. I'm like, that woman, that preacher's wife's like, they stole that music, da-da, that's worry. But if you look at the obstacles that are in your flesh, okay, and tells you, your flesh tells you to exit or exist, and think of them as opportunities, okay, then the power and the love and the mind in Christ will motivate and energize the doctrine in you. This flesh wants what it wants. It will do anything it can opposite of the truth. And as the older you get, you realize that. You know, when you're young, you're like, oh my gosh, I can do this, I can do that. Sure you can. It's going to catch up with you. We tell our children on time, don't we? Listen to me. It's going to catch up with, you turn out okay. Chances are you may not turn out okay. But, yeah. But the love, the power, the love, and the sound mind. Let that motivate us. And that motivation will allow us to be able to turn and help somebody else the right way. Father, we do thank you for the day and thank you for the time you've given us. And we ask as we be mindful of who we are in Christ, that it may help us be strong and stand when all else fails around us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.